can rebuke you. But we've lost that passion for God, that drive to get it done for the Lord, to build churches, to go out and see people. I was telling Stanley, and he remembered, and the brother was saying during Sunday school, in Vietnam, they had a little green snake called two-step. It'd bite you, and you'd hit the ground dead. I mean dead dog dead. There was no time for a medic. When I was in South America, they had something similar to it. And when the missionaries, we'd travel up river by canoe, then we'd get out and walk 3 or 4 miles to a village, and they'd say, get your machete out, and they would raise a sharp and keep an eye out for such and such a snake. Because if it gets you, you're not going to get it. There's another snake today that has bitten the church. He's called that old serpent, the devil. Amen. And people today have lost that passion for God. They've lost what God would have them to do. Is there any sincerity in your worship? Did the Sunday school teacher just teach you Sunday school because nobody else wanted to teach it? When I was first asked to go to this small church, this huge church with a small congregation, I was kind of saying, well, I was saying to one of the deacons, that's hardly worth my time going down there. And he gently rebuked me. You know what he said? He said, if it's 1 or 1,000, they need to hear the word of God. Amen. How true that is. They've lost their drive. They've lost their passion for God. Love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. Let nothing come between you and your God. And then Psalms 31, verse 23. If you'll turn there, I'll wait till you get back to the Old Testament. Psalms 31. And verse 23, the scripture says, oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. That's you and me that are saved. For the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. The scripture is very clear that we are to love God. And the greatest love ever shown was at Calvary. I don't agree with the Catholics. They still had Jesus nailed to the cross. I got news for them. He's sitting at the right hand side of the Father. He's not nailed to the cross anymore, and he will never be nailed. He died once for all eternity. Amen. He now lives. Somebody asked me yesterday, how do you know he's alive? I just talked to him. Did he talk back to you? Yes, he did. As soon as I opened his word, he started speaking. Here's what God says. He says, this love is so great, it bears and forbears, it gives and forgives. If you can't forgive, you need to go to Calvary.
Amen.
If you cannot forgive, you need to go to Calvary, because you will never gain your passion for God as long as you hold a grudge or you're mad at somebody or you're upset with somebody. Somebody didn't shake your hand. Somebody did this, that, or the other. Well, God hasn't been fair with me. I mean, I give to him and I barely can make it. I'm going through marital problems. I'm going through kid problems. You wouldn't have kid problems if you treated your kids like my mother did. My mother raised 6 boys. It was a dictatorship. My mother said, or you were dead. That was it. We literally moved a lot of times when I was a young boy. The first thing my mother did before she unpacked what possessions we had, she went to each room of the house and she hung a switch over the door. And all my mother had to do was look. You knew what was coming. Now, they would call that child abuse now. My mother called it discipline. My mother said, you're not going to backtalk. You're going to do what I say to do. There's no voting in the house. People say, well, my mom and dad dragged me to church all the time. Better than being dragged to hell.
Amen.
Calvary has done so much. How can we know the love of God? Remember when I was reading there? The love of God constrains us. It urges us. It moves us to get the job done. And if it's not, you've lost sight of Calvary. And if you've lost sight of Calvary, you've lost sight of what God has done for you. Well, I used to teach, but I don't teach anymore. I don't like kids. We like who? I ain't a kid. First class I ever taught was a group of second grade boys. You want to go out of your mind, do that one time. And that's back in 1971. Today, most of those boys are serving God somewhere. They're in church. They're deacons. They're pastors. And I just thank God that I had a little bit of directing them in the right direction. When we was at camp this past year, our first year after 5 years after COVID, if you ever get a chance to go back down to Springs of Life, go. Many of you saw it when it was little. If the cockroaches let go of their hands, it would have fell down. They have raised over $800,000. Them bar to dime, $800,000. Brother Dave and his crew would come in and do all the remodeling. All we had to do is buy the materials. And it's come from all over the country. Why? Because a group of people believed that camp was real. We went back to camp. I think we had about 110, which was all we could hold because the bottom dorms were not finished. And what a time. What a time. And I still have kids come up to me and say, hey, are you preaching tonight? I liked you at camp. I said, no, the preacher won't let me preach anymore. Something's wrong. We've lost our passion to serve God. Ephesians says, with goodwill, doing service, listen to this, as to the Lord and not to men. Are you serving to be seen? Are you serving to be heard? Are you serving because you have that passion, that burning desire? You know what Jeremiah said? He said, the fire of God burns in my heart. I cannot but tell people what a great God we have. How can we keep silent? Somebody thanked me the other day, and I wasn't doing it to be thanked, but I believe this. The clothes I have, God gave me. The food I have, God gave me. And I'm in a public place. I'm going to thank God. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen it get hushed around the tables when I bowed my head. A few of them got a little rowdy about, oh, there's a religious person praying. Thank you. I'm going to thank God. Amen. As to the Lord, do you serve sincerely and do you serve responsible? You have a job to do. God has given every one of you that are saved a gift. And you don't have to wait all your life to find out what it is. Sunday school teaching at 15 years old. Short stint in the army. Married a beautiful woman. Found her in church, by the way. Called to preach when I was 25. Still preaching. Been a deacon. I had one pastor tell me, Don't take the position of a deacon after being a pastor. That's a step down. I don't agree. If you can serve God, that's a step up anywhere you go. Amen. And I had the chance to take my knowledge that God gave me and share it with a young pastor to help him to be better for the Lord. If you can do it, get it done. Here's what Brother Brian does. People come to him and say, Pastor, I think we ought to do 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 do. And you know what he says? Go to it. I back you 100%. You know what most of them do? They back up. They want the preacher or somebody else to do it, but they don't want to do it. We want a children's program, but don't ask me to get involved with kids. Me do the nursery? Now, I thank God he never called me to that duty. When I was young, men didn't go to the nursery. They do now, but back then they didn't. I mean, I don't mind babies, but I don't want to change them. No. Passion. And then I want you to look at Matthew 9 and verse 36. And I'll start winding it down right here. There's two things I want you to see. Matthew 9, verse 36. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus went on to say in verse 38, truly the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The second and last thing, passion, compassion. You ever say this when you left somebody? They didn't get saved. Well, I hope they die and go to hell. They deserve it. You just told on yourself, because if we all got what we deserved, we go to hell.
Amen.
But God extended his mercy toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. So he tells us here, where's the compassion? When Christ saw those people. You're not going to get it if you don't look. Do you get up in the mornings and, oh, you're late again for work? You rush out the door, there's no time to pray, there's no time to read the Bible, there's no time to kick your wife and kiss your dog, or vice versa. Where's the compassion? You ever feel sorry for somebody? You know, most people don't want pity, but they want compassion. Jesus said, look under the fields that are white under harvest. Do you know what that literally means in the Greek? The fields are rotting. And our churches today have lost their compassion. But I've tried. Keep trying. When you quit trying, you've lost. Show the compassion to people that Christ showed to you. Show them toward Calvary and what it means. No compassion when you stay in your own little world. Just me, my four, and no more. My family's saved. My family's going to heaven. And that's the best that I can do. Folks, I've been cussed out. I've been run off by dogs. I even had a woman one time come to the door with not a stitch of clothes on. And I turned and I said what Job said, Lord, don't let my feet fail me now. And I ran from it. Something is wrong when we've lost the compassion. It means to bear and to suffer. Do you see somebody that needs the Lord? Do you see somebody that needs a hand up? Maybe they need a box of food. You don't have to ask them. I remember, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, there was a lady in our church, and she needed some fuel oil, and I went to the pastor, and he said, okay, no problem. Sent the fuel truck out, and the lady said, well, I don't have the money to pay for it. And the oil man said, it's already paid for. All we have to do is deliver. She said, I don't want it. You know, some people are going to die hungry because of pride. They're going to freeze because of pride. Let me say this. When you leave, if you feel compassion and you feel led to put a little money in my hand, I take it. No problem. I think I told you last time I was here, though, there was a little lady, and boy, did I learn a lesson. She had to be 90 and blue eyes and 4'2". And she'd gone out of church one Sunday after I'd preached, and she slipped $2 in my hand. I immediately said, oh, no, I can't take that. That little old lady looked up at me, her eyes welled up with tears, and she said, God told me to give it to you. Take it. She gave me a gentle rebuke. And from then on, anybody that offers me money, I take it. Who knows that God didn't tell you to do that? But there's somebody here today in church that needs your compassion. They need to see and to bear with that person. They've gone through death. They've gone through divorce. They don't want your pity. They want your compassion. It means to bear. It means to suffer with that person. Compassion means to suffer. Luke 14 and verse 27, Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross, come after me, you cannot be my disciples. You can make that way all day, and people may think, hey, they go to Valley View, they're disciples of Christ, they love the Lord, but God knows your heart. You're not going to fool God. So without passion for God, you're not going to have compassion for people. It's not reversed. I'll have compassion for people, then I'll have a passion for God. It don't work that way. Without that passion, that drive to get it done for God, get it done for His glory, for His honor, if you don't have the passion, then you're never going to acquire the compassion. You're going to go on in your own little world, and you're going to say, hey, look at me. Nobody cares. Years ago when Nan passed away, I'd been in the ministry all 47, 48 years. And I did not understand. After being saved 50 some years, I didn't understand. Why have you taken Nancy? She really was a Jew. We really had a great love for each other. And God gently, in His gentle way, one night rebuked me when I was laying in the bed having a pity party. And He said, son, you had her 51 years. And I got on my knees, God, I'm sorry. I'll do whatever you want. I don't know why God left me. Maybe he left me for this day, this date, to share passion and compassion with you folks. What about you? Most of you claim to be saved. Most of you say you're saved. Most of you are on your way to heaven. And most of your friends are dying and going to hell because you've lost your passion for God. Therefore, there's no compassion for people. And you're just in your own little world. Satan knows he has but a short time. Jesus is coming. I was here a year ago, and we're a year closer to his coming. I believe he's coming soon. I believe that the devil knows he has but a short time. And the Bible says there's coming a day there's going to be a war in heaven between the good angels and the bad angels. Michael and his angels are going to fight against the devil and his angels. And the Bible says there will be no more place found in heaven for the devil. Right now he has access to the throne. And he accuses us before God. But the day is coming that's going to all be done. And God is going to cast him down to earth. And that's when the great tribulation will come. So great that Jesus said there'll never be another time like it. The last 3.5 years literally will be the hell on earth that people talk about. It's coming. It's coming very soon. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you today, just simple, didn't preach on hell. Most of you say this is what God said to give you. And it's what I've given you. Strive just to get it done because you love the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. And if you do have that compassion, that passion for God, then you will have that compassion for people. As I've spoken, estimated 136,000, estimated, I don't know whether I got the figure, have died in this world. 136,000. How many of them knew the Lord? How many of them could you have influenced had you had more passion for God, thus having more compassion for people? Father, we thank you for this day, for Valley, for the people, Lord. Lord, they're yours. They've always been kind to me and treated me, Lord, as if I was one of theirs. And I've come to love them, Lord, but I love you more. I'm not afraid, Lord, to tell them what you've said. We have lost our passion, therefore we've lost our way, our churches, our government, our country. God, drive us again to our knees, and may we see those around us that have great needs and move out and help when we can, especially when it comes to the gospel. Have your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Brother Song Leader.